Praise the Lord for that. That's an amazing song. I love that song. Been many times encouraged by that. I just wanted to say at the onset, lest I forget, and I have forgotten in the past, to thank you for your gift of love last weekend to our family. We received it as that, and it was a blessing. Thank you. What I want to speak on this morning has been a subject to the answer of an issue I've had to respond to for 46 years. I'm not very old, so it must be all my life, right? That's what I'm saying. It's been an issue I've responded to throughout my whole lifetime, and you have too and are. And for some people, thank God, they understand it sooner than others. I would say for the first 10 years, I didn't even realize it existed. If I did, I don't think I really did. I look back at the first 10 years of my life, and I don't think I remember. The last 20 years, it's become a greater, to a much greater sense, and maybe my eyes are still being opened to the reality of what's happening and what's around me. And you know what? As we get older, we start seeing results of the things that we plant, don't we? Simply speaking, I want to speak on a subject, and I'm going to do it probably more than once, on the subject of submission. I don't think I'm going to get very far today, or very deep, maybe. I was thinking, as we sang that song about lift me up above the shadows, it reminds me a little bit of the mountain peaks. I think submission is a mountain peak that many people have never... Submission is like one of those mountain peaks. Sometimes we get the view, and many times we don't. We just never get to the top to see what it all means. So my prayer for you this morning would be that, like Elisha and his servant, Elisha simply prayed. He said, God, open up the eyes of my servant that he might see. I want that for myself, and with my own inability, or from my own tongue, a desire by the grace of God, the Spirit of God would reveal to your heart another glimpse of what this means. Reveal maybe in a new way or a fresh way, or maybe brand new this morning. What it means, or partly what it means. We're going to talk later, I'd like to talk later, some bottom line issues, maybe in another time. What is, when you get to the wire, right down to the rope, what is submission? I'm not sure I'll get there today. We know that in the kingdom of God, that the way up in the kingdom is the way down. And there is a great sweetness for those times in our lives, and I'm going to say it that way because in our lives, I'm going to guess that all of us have experienced the sweetness of submitting and surrendering our heart. Whether that was a surrendering and submitting our heart to our parents, children. You know the sweetness, the smallest child here who's listening to me, who's actually listening to what I'm saying. And as parents, we know how sweet that is. We see the fruit of that sweetness, and they enjoy it. They're free again. They're free again to go about their playing or whatever they were doing. Jesus said in a different way, he said that the first would be last. And I don't know, can't always understand what I'm thinking, what I've been thinking throughout the week, but I was thinking of 1 Timothy 3 talks about qualifications for leaders, overseers. He says it's a trustworthy saying, and it's a faithful saying, however you want to see the word there. It's a trustworthy saying that if somebody would desire in their heart to be an overseer, or it says in some translations a bishop, that's a good thing. Some of these things, God places desires in our hearts, and I would trust that if we'd get to 1 Timothy 3, which we're not going there today, but when we get there, that we'll see that the standard God places on our lives, on the lives of leaders, there's a standard where we all can grasp for, or we can, and a desire to be there. The military has this saying, and I have it written in the front of my Bible. It says, the more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. Maybe somebody here said it. I don't know where I found that, but I wrote it down. But the more you bleed in, the more you sweat in peacetime, the less you bleed in war. I would trust for us that, in our own experiences, and I'd recommend to us that we find times of sweating now, because the war is great. As I was preparing, Phil, you talked about powers of darkness don't like the end times. Powers of dark, there's a lot of things. And I felt that as well as I was pondering what we talk about, what I preach on this weekend, and then probably last night at, I don't know what time, 8 o'clock or whatever, I felt a sense of peace. So, and I thought, I consider as well as we think about the church, and I'm thinking now as we're in the book of Timothy, Paul was talking to Timothy how the church ought to behave itself, and he was, if you can't go into many books in the New Testament where the writers there, Paul, Peter, Jude, warn against false teaching. There's so much false teaching. There's so many slippery things that are out there. So many philosophies that they tickle the ear. They even sound very intelligent. But the church, I would say to us as a church of Christ, that if we will learn how to submit to Christ, if we will learn how God places different and varied in diverse places, many different times into our experience, if we will learn how to submit and surrender our heart as a church, we're going to find a great blessing there. And I can say that in my own experience, that in those moments that I do and have, and I know the moments I will, it's kind of like the prophecy, self-fulfilling prophecy maybe, but maybe a bit like prophecy of Israel. God has to do what he's going to say because he will. He is God. Why are we here this morning? Many of us are here this morning because we wanted something different than just the Christianity that we saw around us, lived from day to day. We saw many people. Maybe you're here this morning because you're simply yearning for deeper spiritual reality. I don't know. Those who have touched godliness, K.P. Yohanan says, have an air of mystery, beauty, and freshness about them. And he calls it a look of another world in their eyes. And submission is the key that unlocks the door. I could have used the word surrender too, but I chose this morning submission. The life of Christ, in his life we see complete surrender, complete submission, and those who follow the Lamb have these attitudes as well. It's no surprise to you who are here. We live in a time that values independence. But Christ invites us to walk with him on a different path and discover the mystery of this godliness. We're living today in a day of a few things: individualism. And these are things that make submission, I believe, when we contrast with it, the beauty of it, and the opposition of the two, submission and individualism. You know, in the church here, if we would live our lives as individuals, the body would be rendered basically functionless. We couldn't really get far, would we? And I see that as we sat down as brothers, the brothers meeting the other night. And I remember forcefully declaring, at a moment, I'm not sure what I said, but I remember in my heart, I was like, that is not what I said. This is what I meant to say. And we are members of a body. If there was only an eye, where would the hearing be? If there was only a torso, where would everything else be? It could be just empty, right? But it's not about individualism. It's not about self-discovery. We live in a world where self-discovery is almost everything. Discover yourself. Live your life. Hold nothing back. And fighting for liberation. Fighting for liberation, where people go so far as to say where authority is seen as a servant appointed by free men to serve them. Let me read that one again. Authority is seen as a servant appointed by free men to serve them. And this is how it could look in a church. It could look where we take a vote and say, okay, we're going to have a leader here and a leader here and a leader here. We take votes. But the bottom line of our vote means that those men are going to serve us. That's the world we live in. And you know what? I trust in this building. We're desiring to go diametrically a different way and have come a long way. If there's something I've noticed probably among us, is probably I feel like there's more rest as a fellowship. And I'm really blessed by that. Really thrilled by that. People who are men fight for liberation. If authority fails, what do? Just vote someone new in, right? They're just simply replaced. And when it comes to authority, Ian Thomas said this. He said, God is answerable to no one but himself. Watchman Nee said, in touching God's authority, we touch God himself. In touching God's authority, the authority that touches our lives, we touch God himself. And if, may God help us to see that, you know, we're not just fooling around. We're not, authority that God has placed in our life isn't just for small account. It's actually a great account. When we touch God, we ought to fear God. Men ought to fear God. A.W. Tozer said, "The only thinkable relation between us, which is God and man, is the one of full lordship on his part and complete submission on ours. We owe him every honor that is in our power to give him. Our everlasting grief lies in giving him anything less." I have 3 points to the message today. One is our example. Number two, the way of the Master. And number three, choose you this day. Choose you this day. The grandfather found his grandson jumping up and down in his playpen, crying at the top of his voice. When little Johnny saw his grandfather, he reached up his little chubby hands and said, "Out, Gramp, out." It was only natural for grandfather to reach down to lift the little fellow out of his predicament. But as he did, the mother of the child stepped up and said, "No, Johnny, you are being punished, so you must stay in." The grandfather was at a loss to know what to do. The child's tears and chubby hands reached deep into his heart. But the mother's firmness in correcting her son for misbehavior must not be lightly taken. There was a problem of love versus law, but love found a way. The grandfather could not take the youngster out of the playpen, so he crawled in with him. Our example, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. If you have your Bible, you'll know the story well, or the chapter well. Isaiah 53. From the culture I come from, reading a scripture every Sunday was important. And the New Testament church, I believe, was encouraged to read the scriptures. Timothy was encouraged to read the scriptures. And it's through the scriptures. You know how many times you open up the scriptures, not necessarily studying for some major project, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. I want to read this whole chapter as we look at and our first point. Here's our example. Who has believed our report? You know, there's not many. There is not many people who will get it, who care to even understand what submission is they never even get close to understanding that there's a blessing in it. They never get to a place where they have ever find the freedom in it. God is good to us. Everything he brings to us, he brings with purpose, and he is good. He is not evil in any way. His gifts, every last gift of his is good. He gives good gifts to men. That's why he says when you're praying, ask for the Spirit of God. Ask for the Holy Spirit. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Not to very many, obviously. To billions of people, there is no understanding of who Jesus Christ is. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Now that doesn't sound too bad. A tender plant. Plants are beautiful. There is a stage where they're very tender. And as a root out of a dry ground, something we're trying not to do, right? You're trying not to have your children in your home and it's just a dry place, I trust. You want there to be vitality and life, like there's underneath the Dead Sea, all that water. What's the great cry today? Canada is shipping, because of our vast amounts of fresh water, we ship it to places, other places in the world. Water is becoming a great issue. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isn't that how it was until we met the Master? The way of the master doesn't look too attractive. Hot rods and high fashion, all those things look way more appealing to our flesh. There's no beauty that we should desire him. In fact, we did this too. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. How would you like that life? You're not converted here this morning. There's people here who aren't. That's what I can offer you from the Word of God. And you'll never understand the sweetness of this picture, this word picture, until you know it, know him, until you know him. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We turned away. We went our own way. And yet God said, I'll put your iniquities, I'll take all those iniquities, I'm going to place them on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. If you didn't get it, that's ultimate submission. This is our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's ultimate submission. This is the example he left us. This is what we have to look forward to. This is what we ought to strive for. And I guarantee you'll find a place of release. And as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Now I'd like to be like that. That's my goal. I'll never slip with my tongue. I'll never slip with my thoughts. I will never slip with the intent of my heart toward you, toward God, toward anything, toward in this life. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I'll divide him a portion with the great. Before the crown is the cross. Therefore, I'll divide him a portion for the great. In Revelation, we see the line of the tribe of Judah became the lamb who was slain on a throne. His path, he came into the playpen, if you want to say it that way. His path from Bethlehem to the cross. His path to greatness, where every knee bows and every tongue confesses, was this path. And this is the path for you. This is the path for me. This is the example he left us. Therefore, I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. That's who's really strong. Get it? Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, you know, and the sinners. Who gets close to Jesus? It's not the righteous, but the sinners. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. There's our example. Absolute submission. The Lamb who represents surrender and submission. The Lamb of God has gone before us showing the way of submission. Maybe you could say from slaughterhouse to throne. That's what it said here. Who's taken as a sheep to the slaughter. And in the close of God's revealed word, we see a lamb on the throne. Powerful Lamb of God. Number two, the way of the Master. The life of the followers of the Lamb comes from the indwelling Christ. B, these believers manifest his likeness through simple devotion to him. I want to encourage you that the way of the Master is not some complex or for the intelligent. It's by his knowledge. It's by his knowledge that we get any understanding at all. Revelation 14:4, they follow him wherever he goes. In Job, after God had questioned him, and I think I'll turn there, the end of Job, end of the book of Job. Job made a response before God. Job 42. Like that lamb, may we ever be humble, gentle, and broken people. First six verses in Job 42 says, then Job answered the Lord and said, God had asked him some questions. Job had humbled his heart. I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Confidence. This man, his conclusions are amazing. He didn't just say these words. It's maybe like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. If it be your will, take this away. But he said, all things are possible. Job's conclusion was exactly the same, or very similar, that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? You ask me that. Therefore, I have uttered what I didn't understand. Don't worry, you know. You've made some pretty strong statements. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you will answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. See, that's the key to those who can't see the beauty of the Lord, that's the confession we make when we see the Lord in our soul, and we get saved. It's like, wow, but now our eyes sees him. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent. Job's response was repentance, one of repentance. And this call isn't just to some here. I'm not talking to just some of us here this morning. I'm talking to everyone here. May our response be as Job's. And number three, choose you this day. I'm going to go to the book of Joshua. Joshua said that. And then we'll go into Judges a little bit here. Joshua 24. Choose you this day. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then I want to go to Judges 9. We'll go there first. And it's an interesting story here. Judges 9 is a story of a man by the name of Abimelech. Abimelech was a son of Gideon, or Jerubbaal. Gideon, we'll remember, and remind ourselves that in the days of the judges, they had some pretty severe things happening. It was a day of turmoil. It was a day of people wishing. There was a hungering sometimes for God, and many times there would be a good leader, a good man rise up, and his heart was toward God, and he'd deliver the people. And you can see the validity of the truth, the doctrine of 1 Timothy 3, why you need good leaders. Because the church rises and falls upon, many times, upon leadership of a generation or leadership in a local community, local church fellowship. Gideon, and I've always been disappointed, or often been disappointed by the man, we see God working greatly in the man's life. But he was a man who didn't surrender or submit himself easily. He was a man, I think, of some unbelief. The angel had to convince him, why do you want signs in your life? Can't you simply take the word of God for what it says and believe for what it says and say, you know, at the end of the day, if God is who he says he is and you believe it, you don't have to ask the question. You don't have to lay out the fleeces before him, do you? There are principles in his word that he goes by. And I'm not saying there's never a place where you see signs from God. I'm not saying that. It's obvious he's throughout his word, he's given signs, and he's given signs so that maybe to alert us, maybe to wake us up sometimes. I don't know about you, but I think we're all sometimes, get drowsy. But here was Gideon, and he had just the Midianites were destroyed, you know, and near the end of his life, I don't know how far to the end of his life, I don't think it says here as we're reading, I couldn't tell that it says that, but he got the people to throw in their earrings. They threw a robe on the floor, and they brought all these golden earrings because the Midianites or the Ishmaelites, they like gold, I think. They were probably in their culture that was pretty meaningful, so he got all this gold, and then he went and he made an ephod, and through it, he caused Israel to stumble. This was a leader, a good leader in Israel at a time. And so this Abimelech fellow was his son. Gideon had 70 sons, and the Bible says here. But this Abimelech fellow, his son, was son of a concubine, I think. And he went to Shechem and said, hey, and he makes some things clear. I think it clears up some things. And he went there and he said, you fellows in Shechem, what would you rather have? Would you rather have 70 sons of Gideon ruling over you? Or how about just have one? I'm bone of your bones. I'm like you are. I'm your flesh. I'm your relative. Why not just have one? Let's make it simple. Let's make it easy. We know who to come to. Let's not have these 70. That's going to be confusing. Let's not have 70. Who's going to be in charge, really? And then so he went and killed them. Maybe in your life, maybe in our lives, sometimes we think that, you know what, it doesn't matter. We're going to get away with it. Abimelech thought he was going to get away with it. One young fellow, one of his half-brothers escaped and told a parable saying, basically saying that Abimelech, you're going to pay for this. And it was a word from God. There's nothing we can escape from God, right? We can think we can trick God. We think that it's not going to matter in my life. We can see examples of other people, yes, even in our own family. We don't have to look very far. Flesh and blood shows us, just go back at our own relatives and we see how their lives lived, and we're not different than that. We live with flesh and blood. I think this was his problem. He said, remember, I am your own flesh and bone. Here was a selfish, sensual, carnal picture. This is a beautiful picture of a carnal man. This is how carnal men think. If that's how you're thinking not after the Spirit, but you're thinking in a very carnal, sensual way. And it wasn't that long after he reigned 3 years. This man was reigned like a, I think, reigned over Israel 3 years, verse 22, chapter 9. God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. These were his bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh, right? His relatives. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the crime done to the 70 sons of Gideon might be settled, excuse me, and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them. And on the men of Shechem who aided him in killing of his brothers, and even Shechem paid for. That's the bad news. You think you can hide whatever you have within your life, but the good news is there's one who bore on his shoulder your iniquity if you will turn from your sin. There is a Savior. But I just want to make this clear. Choose this day whom you will serve. Which God do you want to serve? Do you want to serve a God who is treacherous? Are you going to be like Gideon, who caused people to stumble? And in the kingdom of God, there's great responsibility on you personally, on me personally. But we thank God. The wisdom of God has it such that we are here today. The wisdom of God has it such that we have many different people gathered here today. And we are working together. You know, many times in many places, the way we talked on Wednesday night would have caused people to walk away from each other. We simply talked very frank. We disagree when we need to. I don't have a problem with that. But we work together and we walk together because we are of one body. And I am convinced that you, with me, are doing this because of the Christ, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the life that flows through your life by Him. That's what keeps us together. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Remember, we hide nothing, we get away with nothing from God. A couple questions, if I could ask them here. As regarding submission, maybe you've taken steps to, maybe you see places in your life where you've been tested in that. Maybe you see places in your life where you've failed. Maybe you see in your life that, maybe in your life it's easy. It seems like everything falls into place, and maybe you've had a tender heart of submission and it's well with your soul. Praise the Lord. What steps have you taken to pursue it? What has been the results of your pursuits to date? Where are you with it? Are you outside looking in, desiring the blessing? Outside not even knowing there is a blessing? Or if you're honest with yourself, would you see something standing in the way? Try this one. Is there something the Lord has been asking you to surrender that you're holding on to? It's a choice and it's yours. The door's open, the Lamb bids you and I to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you that you give us the Word of God. We thank you for the glorious example of our Savior, King Jesus. Thank you that as a Lamb that was slain, we honor Him today. He is King Jesus. He is the Lord of glory. Father, we thank you that we can trust you completely. We've even experienced that from time to time in our lives in a greater degree for some of us than others. As we cast ourselves on you, you can't fail because you are God. We bless you for that. Father, I do pray this morning that if there's anyone who's never had a glimpse of the beauty of the kingdom, they've never seen what it would be to surrender or submit their life in completeness and without reservation to God, that you might open their eyes, see the flame, the flaming chariots that surround the people of God. We pray that none would be lost. Thank you, Father, that we can come just as we are. You've come to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Thank you, Father, for brotherhood. Thank you for each part of the body. Thank you for working through us. We marvel at your gifts that you bless the church with, the grace you pour into the church. Thank you, Father, for it. May your name, your great name, God and Father, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.